Good morning.
Happy Mother's Day to each one of you today. As Brother Danny was mentioning some things, and you know, as a father, I can remember when I was going to be a father. And I remember how special that was. That was not too much can compare. I don't know if anything can compare, really, to when they tell you you're going to be a father. I can't imagine, as women, when you're told you're going to have a child. You know, fathers are one thing, but you carry a child for 9 months. It's a part of your body. And I know there's a wonderful blessing in being a parent, being a mother, being a father. And there's a difference in the two. You know, my wife, when we were in Hagerstown for a revival, and one little girl there, a young girl, she had a little baby. And my wife sees a baby, she just has to get her hands on that baby. I mean, when they're little, it was little. Maybe, I don't know, if it was a month old, maybe a few weeks. Now for me, not me. If I had to, I would hold it or whatever, you know, for a few minutes or whatever. But that's how God made us. Now, you told us to build a crib, we can do that. But to babysit, that might be a little bit different story unless we had to. But God made us different. And God put something special in women to be a mother, to have that love, to have that care, to have that compassion, much more than men do. God didn't make us that way as far as men, really. But He made mothers that way, and I thank God. I thank God for my mother. I thank God for the many blessings I've received from her. Thank God for His goodness to me. Thank God I'm saved. Thank God for the privilege to be able to call upon Him for anything. You know, the Bible teaches us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You know, there are things that have happened in this world that I have no idea what's going on. And complicated, disturbing. But thank God we can just say, Lord, hand it to You.
Yes, amen.
And there are some little things that we need to go to God to. As I had my grandchildren yesterday and had them all day, and of course outside I let them go out and they go out in the rain, and one of them had an umbrella. They were playing with an umbrella and they couldn't get the umbrella opened up, and trying to get it, you know how it's just a little child's umbrella, and he pulled the little tab off of the pin. Of course it came off, and he had to get that fixed. Well, for me to fix that was no problem. You know, God's the same way. What sometimes can be large to us is so trivial to God. And I thank God yesterday there was a couple things I was thinking about. Brother Danny and I mentioned this. There was a couple things that I just looked at the Lord. Lord, I need help with this. And God just opened up things and worked things out. And I thank God for that. I thank God that I'm a child of God. And I thank God He not only saved us, but He gave us a mother, a spiritual mother. We are, as a church, we're a spiritual mother to each one, every one of us. Let's open up our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 31. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this day that You've given to us, dear Lord. We are thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that our country does recognize some days. Dear Lord, as we were talking a little bit before service, dear Lord, there are some days that the country recognizes that are ridiculous. But, dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we do recognize mothers and fathers. Lord, we're thankful for a good mother and a good father. Dear Lord, a godly mother and a godly father, dear Heavenly Father, that will raise them up and the fear of the Lord, dear Heavenly Father, that will train them up, dear Lord, to do right, to be moral, good citizens in the world, dear Heavenly Father. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. Dear Lord, we still believe, dear Lord, as far as the world has come off its mark, dear Heavenly Father, we still believe You ordain a man and a woman to become husband and wife, to raise children, dear Lord, under the fear of the things of God. So, Lord, we're thankful that that's still the way it is. And, dear Lord, when that takes place, dear Heavenly Father, what a perfect, beautiful picture that can draw, dear Lord. So we're thankful, and we ask you to bless each and every mother that's here this morning, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to just comfort their hearts in a special way, dear Lord. But help each and every one of us. The Lord, as I mentioned, the difference between a mother and a father, a man and a woman, the different compassions you can put upon us. But the Lord, as we're the church of God, we're to Zion, we're the mother in Zion, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we ask you to help us, dear Heavenly Father, to have a love and a kindness one towards another as a mother does her own children, dear Lord. We ask you to bless us as you look into the Word of God, see some of the thoughts that we have. We ask you to anoint everything that's said and done this morning. We'll give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, we're going to look at a couple of verses here. Probably no doubt each one of you know exactly where I'm going. But in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous woman? There's a question mark. For her price is far above rubies. So he asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? And when you think about that, what is your worth today? What is your value? You know, a few weeks ago, I brought a message about a value of things and how you recognize a value. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on. But our value, to who is the value? You know, to the children, the mother is precious. They're wonderful value. As Sister Jerry mentioned, her mother passed when she was young, and her aunt, stepped into that place, and that became a value there. But our mothers and our mothers are very valuable to our children, to their children and things. So when we think about who is a virtuous woman, I know it says woman here, but referring to mothers and all. And if you do any notes, you want to do any reading, you go home and you can read through the entire chapter. But from verse 10 all the way down to the end of the chapter, it goes on to say, and it talks about a woman. She, verse 12, there it says she. Verse 13, she. Verse 14, she. Verse 15, and all the way down here it uses she. Sometimes it doesn't use she, but it refers to the woman. It refers to a mother and her husband and different things. And it says it talks about the properties and praises of a virtuous woman. The Proverbs preacher here asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? The word virtue means to behave showing high moral standards. Today it almost seems to be a shame to have moral standards among men or women, young people or old people. It's almost a shame somewhat. It's almost an embarrassment to somewhat. But the word virtue here, and we need to stand before God one day and give an account of how God looks at us. When I talked about earlier, what is our worth today and our worth towards God? We want to be a value towards God. But virtue, to behave or showing a high moral standard. In verse 30, as we go all the way down to the end of this chapter, he talks about a woman a little bit here. He says, favor is deceit and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Our value, our virtue. And as I'm going to bring a lot of thoughts here this morning, and they can weigh on both sides, whether it's men or women also, but we're talking about mothers and things, and we know this verse here in 30, favor is deceit. You know, some people can, the Bible talks about women that flatter with their lips. Favor is deceit. Talk good. Talk favorable. Talk promising, whatever. It says favor is deceit and beauty is vain. The old saying that we have in our time, beauty is only skin deep. And there are some beautiful, beautiful women God has made. I've always said that sometimes. You know, in the human world, God made the woman the beauty. The man, he didn't too much. And in the animal kingdom, that's the opposite. The males are usually the more attractive of the animals, where the females don't have that. And I always thought about that years ago. If God made the men beautiful and made them to be the head of the house, we probably wouldn't be able to live with ourselves. We wouldn't be able to be under God's control. So he made it that way. But he made women beautiful. And I know as a man, and you know a lot of times, there are some women that are very beautiful, very attractive out there. But all I have to do is talk to them for just a moment or two, and all that beauty goes right away sometimes. because of the attitude and the way they are. But he says here in this verse, favor is deceit, beauty is vain, but a woman, and this is what I'm going to look at for the rest of my service, message for this morning, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. The value. What is the value of yourself? And in whose eyes? When we think about our value, when we think about our recognition and ourselves, or what we want to be favorable to ourselves, how do we look at it? Is there a beauty or a deceit? I always think about, especially movie stars and things, when it affects me as I'm getting older, that I see some movie stars, whether it's men or women, and when I remember them back in the times when I was young, and what they look like, and now I see them today, and from whatever reason, you still think they should look like that. I know that's not true, but you look at them today, and like, they got old. You know, they aren't the beauty queen that they knew, or the handsome guy that they shown in the movies and things. They aren't those people anymore, and it looks like time has changed them. But when we think about the very thought of what value do we look in of ourselves? Many people have a desire for the value of themselves to be recognized in the world. I want to go out there in the world. I want the movies. I want the prestige. I want the exception of the world. I want them to accept me. I want them to recognize me. I want them to praise me and things in the world. Or is it the things of God? Do you have a desire for the world to recognize it? Do you have a desire to be in the social status of your neighborhood, of your friends, of your company, of whatever? I want to be on the A-list, so to speak, when my neighbors are given an invitation. I want me to be one of the ones that they invite the first. I want them to always invite me to the party. I want to be recognized through the world. That's how I want to be too. Or, Lord, I want to be recognized by God. I want to be in favor of God. But a woman that feareth the Lord. And as I said, this standard could go on both sides, whether it's men or women. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, there's not a woman, one of us in this room that can't remember, especially when we were all younger, in our late teens, early 20s, there were some girls that had a reputation that wasn't good. It certainly wasn't virtuous or moral. And you know what sadly it is? They were the favorable ones out there in the world. They were the ones that everybody wanted to be around. They were the ones that, and I wasn't in the worldly things at all. I had some friends that were girls. They weren't girlfriends, but girls. They weren't that way. They weren't recognized out there in the world like that. They weren't on the different society clubs and things like that because they kept themselves. I'm not saying they were saved or things, but they kept themselves in high morals for their own standards. But he says here, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. We use a couple words here this morning that in our day, in our time, has changed and has been recognized differently sometimes. But we use this couple of words. We've already mentioned virtue, and we've mentioned that behavior showing a high moral standard. Of course, virtue, moral, fear, we use fear, and godly fear. There's a godly fear of reverence. And there are many women in the Bible that fear the Lord. And as we're going to look at a few of these this morning, and as I mentioned many a times, and saints, I hope, and if there's something I can maybe pass on from time to time to hope, because I use it for myself many times, there are so many people in the Bible, and we're going to mention a couple, that only just one or two verses are mentioned about them. But they were lifted up. They were acknowledged. They were given praise. They were given honor because they feared God, because they trusted in God, because God recognized them in different avenues of their living for Him. Let's look at a couple this morning here. Let's go to the first one. Let's look at Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 2. Now in Joshua here, this was a time, starting the book of Joshua, a little bit of history to bring this up. Joshua, we know that Moses had died. Children of Israel were in the wilderness here, and then Joshua had been taken over as God had appointed him to be the leader of the children of Israel. And then Joshua had sent men into the city of Jericho to check out Jericho, to spy out the land, so to speak, to go in there. And there was a particular woman in there. Her name was Rahab. And when we look at her, she feared God. Rahab had a fear for the things of God. And let's look at it in Joshua chapter 2. We're going to pick up here in verse 8. And before they were laid down, talking about the men, she came up to them and upon the roof. She had hid them. She had taken these men into her house. She had hid the men. And we'll go back, but you can go back here in chapter 2 there. It says the king sought after Rahab to find these men. We want these men. But she hid these men in their home up in the roof. Verse 8, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, now these were the spies from the children of Israel. And look at what she said. Now, I really like reading this. I think this is sometimes we need to just get the whole thought here. And she said unto the men, verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She had fear of God. She had reverence of God. She had respect for God. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the habitation of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how that Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Now understand what had happened here. This didn't just happen. They didn't go into Jericho, and they went to Rahab's house, and she hid them, and she went up and talked to them, and this just happened. 40 years ago this happened. When God dried up the Red Sea for Moses and all, and then they went across the Red Sea and some other things, not going into all that detail, but God got upset with children of Israel, and he said, this is where you're going to stay for the next 40 years. I'm not going to let you go any further. For 40 years, you're going to stay here until all the older ones have passed away, except for, I think, Joshua and Caleb there. All of those were the only ones above a certain age that went into the land of Canaan. But she said, we've heard what God did for you back in them days. I say, Lord, help us as saints of God to live a life. And especially women in the church, saints of God that are women in the church, they can have a greater, I think, influence or recognition to the world than the men can. Just by how they dress, just by how they present themselves, representation of God and things, we don't recognize it as much as men sometimes as they would women. But anyway, she says, we've heard some things. In verse 9 there, or verse 10, for we have now heard how the Lord dried up the waters from Red Sea, and he came out of Egypt. And then look what else she said. And what he did unto the two kings and Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shion and Og, which you utterly destroyed. This is the other thought that I want in verse 11. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart did melt. In other words, they were upset. They were concerned. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. But we don't see any men repenting and calling out to God and asking God. But this one woman, Rahab, she recognized it. And she said, I've heard some things. We've all heard some things. Our nation has heard some things. And our hearts melted, we were concerned. Verse 11, and continue on. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sister and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death. One woman. Because she had fear of God, because she had reverence of God's power, was the salvation of not only herself, but her whole household. One woman. One woman that did this. And Rahab said these things because I've heard what God did on the other side of the flood. Our hearts melted. There was no encouragement. And Rahab had courage. Rahab had courage to ask to hide. They had to shed hide. Her life was in jeopardy. She hid these men, just like if we were to bring someone in here and we would, our attic's back there, and run them up in that attic and put them up and hide them. She put, and if the authorities were to come in, we want to know where these people are, and we had them hid. She put her life on the line, her whole family. And she said, I need you to promise me. And you know the story is later on as Joshua and the children of Israel entered into Jericho and God brought the walls down to Jericho and they killed, and God told them, I want you to kill everyone except for Rahab and her family. And because of her courage, because of her fear and the things of God, her and her family, her mother, her father, brothers, sisters, and those that were saved, they're the only ones in that city there when Joshua came in. Do we sometimes hear the warnings of God and move? The Bible's full of warnings. The Bible says one day Christ is coming back.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I'll admit to you, even us as saints have been around for a while, that has kind of sort of like, we've been hearing it for a long time. We know it. We recognize it. But sometimes do we live in the same? I use the term here with Rahab. I know it's actually used with Noah during the time of God called Noah. But I said, do we hear the warnings of God and move with fear as Rahab did? Rahab moved with fear. Fear fell upon her heart. And she requested that these men would take care of her and her family. Because she knew that the whole land was going to be inhabited by God's people. Do we recognize the things of God and move? Or do we, as I said, sometimes in the back, when we're out there in the world out there, we just flow with the rest of the world? Or do we take a stand against some things? Let's look at another one. Let's look at Ruth chapter 1. In Ruth chapter 1, there was a woman named Naomi, and she had a husband, Elimelech, and his wife Naomi, and they had two sons. Let's start in verse 3. Ruth 1 and 3. Let me get a book here. And Elimelech and Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one of them was Orpah, and another name was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and they went, and the women was left of her two sons and her husband. So we have a story here that Naomi's husband died, and Naomi had two children, two sons, and they married two women of the Moabs, and it was Orpah and Ruth, and their husbands also died. So here Naomi was only left with just her daughter-in-laws here. So picking up here, let's jump on down there as we go on there. So and back up here a little bit. Naomi had Orpah and Ruth, her daughter-in-laws. And she requested them, as their husband died, she told them to go back to their mother's home, go back to their own homeland. She goes, my husband's dead, your husbands are dead, I don't have any way to take care of you and things. She says, I need you to go back and go to be with your own people, go live with your own people. And she says, I have no more sons for you to marry. And so they both desired to stay with Naomi. They didn't want to go, but she insisted there.
So Orpah was the one daughter-in-law. She decided, okay, and she kissed her mother Naomi. Mother-in-law kissed her mother Naomi, and she went back and stayed, went with her own people, her own family. But Ruth didn't. Let's jump down to verse 16. And Ruth said, after Orpah had left, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go." Now, my thought this morning is, of course, with women and having godly fear upon women, and having a respect. And here in verse 16, he says, "I will go where thou," let's start over verse 16. "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And where and thou diest, I will die, and there shall be buried the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught put to death part of thee with me." And when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's jump down to verse 26. Or no, we're not going to go that far down. So here, as we see, Naomi had tried to get her two daughter-in-laws to influence them to leave and to go back to their parents and all. And Ruth didn't. Ruth said, "I'm not going to go. Entreat me not to go." In the very verse 16 there, it says, "I will lodge where thou will lodge. My people shall be, your people shall be my people." In the very last part of verse 16, "And thy God shall be my God." An influence. Naomi had an influence on these women. Every one of us in this room, every person that lives in the world, we have an influence on somebody. Somebody we have an influence on. Now, another little thought here about having an influence. Sometimes we desire our thoughts of, "Lord, I want to have an influence on a lot of people, a godly influence, to where people can have a thing, a desire to follow God as Ruth." But here, this was two women. One went and one didn't. We may not have an influence. We may have an influence on a lot of people, but there may be only just a few that follow after our influence. And sometimes that hurts us, that upsets us. But Jesus, as he walked this earth, thousands following. But when it came down to the end, even the 12 disciples fled for fear of what was going to happen. Jesus stood alone many times. He stood and looked upon Jerusalem one time. He goes, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but ye would not." An influence. Naomi had a great influence on Ruth. And Ruth said, "Your God shall be my God." I said, "Lord, help us." Just like the woman at the well that Jesus talked to. And after he talked to her and she went into town after a while, and she says, "I've found the one that they talk about." And a bunch of the townspeople came after that well and talked to Jesus Christ. And I thank God for later on in that chapter, they told the woman, the people of the town came to the woman. They said, "Woman, we believe in Jesus Christ, not because of what you said, but because we've accepted him ourselves." Ruth got something from Naomi. "Your God's going to be my God." But thank God, I believe that later on, Ruth, that God became Ruth's God. Not a God of just Naomi, but it became Ruth's personal God, and that she could have an influence too. Do we have an influence on others? Naomi didn't have an influence on Ruth somewhat, or on Orpha. She left, but she had an influence on Ruth. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. I guess you can't talk about any mother in the Bible without talking about Jesus' mother. In Luke chapter 1, picking up here in verse 26,
And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth. I'm just going to make a little point here in verse 27 to a virgin. Mary was a virgin. Some Bibles may read a young woman, but she was a virgin. Used to be years ago, teach your children that virgin's not a dirty word. Virgin's not a word that you have that's disrespectful. The Bible still teaches that as young men and young women, as they get married, they should remarry as a virgin and become married. As I said earlier, sometimes we've all been around. There have been girls that I've known in schools and things like that. Sadly. Oh, I lost my virginity when I was 15 or 16 or this. Little do they know that's a reproach, that's a shame to them in the God's eyes. But to the world, oh, that's honorable. But he says here in verse 27, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now just give a little more detail here, thought. We're going to look at with Joseph and Mary. Of course, when we're going to talk about it a little bit here. And as Mary went to be with Elizabeth and came back, and Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, Mary was with child, and he didn't know that. And he knew he hadn't been with her, was going to put her away. The Lord spoke to him and let him know, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Mary and Joseph got married before Jesus was born. But the Bible lets us know that Joseph never knew Mary until after Jesus was born. They never got together as far as husbands and wives until after the time of Christ was born. So in verse 28, and the angel came unto her and said, and I'm thinking about this as I was reading this morning, because I think about it a little bit, and I wonder how many of you ladies have ever thought about what these verses said. And the angel came and said unto her, and said unto Mary, Hail, thou art highly favored. What kind of person do you think Mary was? We don't have anything in the Bible up until right now. Virtuous woman. Feared of God. Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. A virtuous woman is greatly praised. Favorable of God. See, that's what it's going to matter. We can be favorable out there in the world. Our name can be known in the world. We can have the status and the social status in the world and things. But what does it mean before God? To stand before God. Do we get out there in the world and we let down a little bit to be a little bit of a mixed in the world? And everyone, any of us can know that temptation that the devil, oh, just mix with them. Talk a little bit, tell some maybe jokes, or get into some of the conversation. Or do we stand firm and be a child of God like we should? People say, well, they're out there drinking. There is no such thing as social drinking. We don't need to be out there. Saints don't need to be taking part in social drinking and things, because the world doesn't look at social drinking and says, oh, I'm just going to have one little glass of wine. Or one that, if they see you that, they'll do as they did with Jesus and cause you as a wine bibber. We can try to be a little bit a part of the world's association, or we can be standing the things against God, or against the world, and be a child of God. Amen. He says there, thou art blessed among women. And thou hast found favor among God. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. Mary, the mother of Christ, the mother of God. And you know, as I said, sometimes we think about people, and we think about Paul, we think about Peter.
We think about John. There are different ones in the Bible that have a lot of things that we recognize. Moses and Abraham and all of them. We see a lot of their character all through the Bible. Mary, the mother of God, just a little bit here. Maybe a little bit there and here during Jesus' crucifixion and all, but very little. But she was recognized highly favored of God. Said highly favored, blessed among women, thou hast found favor with God. Mary heard that Elizabeth was with child. And another one, just a couple verses of scripture here about Elizabeth. Elizabeth was with child with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost and even in his mother's womb. Mary went up to be with Elizabeth and they were there for a period of time. And God blessed the two of them. And Elizabeth was older, much older, well past time of having children. But God blessed her to be with child of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. I have one more, and let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's writing the letter to Timothy, trying to encourage Timothy, try to bless him and help him in his ministry. Verse 2, and Timothy, he writes here, Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God. Now here, look what Paul's saying to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefather with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee and my prayer night and day. Paul had a lot to be. He was proud of Timothy and encouraging Timothy. Verse 4. And he says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now look what he says in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned meaning genuine. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in thee, which he gives credit to someone else also, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Paul gives credit to two generations. Really three, I want to say that. He gives credit to Timothy's grandmother. And not only to Timothy, not giving credit to Timothy because of the faith of his mother and his grandmother, but Paul had an influence. Paul was affected. Paul knew these two ladies, Lois and Eunice. He knew them and he recognized their faith. He was encouraged. Paul was encouraged by their faith enough to tell Timothy, I'm encouraged by their faith. I believe the same faith that is in your grandmother and in your mother, it's in you also, Timothy. I'm encouraged with that. You know, several of us here, Sister Jerry mentioned her aunt and uncle there, and Sister Ann's also mentioned her grandmother, and I mentioned my aunt and different ones. There are some people in past time, they have been a blessing to us and encouraged our faith living around them. And I say, Lord, help us, even as mothers have a wonderful influence on people, not just their children, but on people. I believe we can have a great influence on people and that they can have respect for us and honor and recognizing that we're children of God. But he says here in this verse, he says, which dwelt first in your grandmother and in your mother. That genuine faith. There's an this influence affected Paul, and Paul was trying to encourage Timothy. You know, it encourages us when we say, when someone, I've mentioned about my grandfather, now not too many people remember him, but when I first got saved, other congregations, when they heard who I was, they would come to me, especially the old ones, I remember your grandfather. They would tell me some things. You know, Sister Spinogle, and Sister Bush were two that told me. My grandfather came here July 29th, 1964, when I was born. He came here for prayer meeting, and I was told this by Sister Spinogle and Sister Bush, both. It was 7 o'clock, the prayer meeting started, and as a prayer request got, he stood up and he said, "I want to thank God that I have a brand new grandson, a baby grandson." Back in them days, in 64, they didn't know if I was a boy or a girl. They didn't have any idea what I was going to be born. When they came, that's when you found out it was a boy or a girl. I wasn't born until 9 o'clock that night. 7 o'clock that evening, he told people, and there again, Brother, Sister Bush and Sister Spinogle said, and they remember that he said, by the help of the Lord, maybe God will make a minister or a preacher out of it. And different ones have said, you know, how God can bless that. That encourages me, how God can work through that. And we can be a blessing if someone would come up to our children or our family or somebody and say, "I've got faith in your mother, I got faith in your father, and I trust that God can bless you in that faith also." Having faith, having an influence on people. I don't know if there can be any greater blessing to know we had an influence on someone to receive salvation. I'm not talking about just their children. I'm talking about anyone. If anyone could get saved under our influence, under our reputation of living for the Lord. There is a poem by William Wallace. And the title and the poem says, "The hand," the latter part of that poem says, "The hand that rocked the cradle is the hand that rocks the world." Those that take care, and I believe that to be so true. How much, there again, backing what I said at the beginning of my message, how much more an influence that women have than a husband. It's just the way God made us. I recognize that, and I believe we can recognize that. We started out reading in Proverbs with a question mark, who can find a virtuous woman? I say, Lord, help us in our day to day. It has gone so far off the mark. It's almost out there in the world. It's almost, they think it's an embarrassment. It's ridiculous to be considered a virtuous woman. They've gone so far off the mark. But who can find a virtuous woman and a God-fearing woman today that can guide young men and young women into holiness by the help of the Lord? Again, wish each and every one of you a happy Mother's Day, and I trust each and every one of you have a desire to have the fear of the Lord and a respect in living for Him. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Okay, this one is on page 154. Let's stand it up, please. And open page on 154.
I am coming to Jesus for rest in such the purifying know. My soul is a thirst to be blessed, to be washed and whiter than snow. I believe Jesus said, and His blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saves, and His blood washes whiter than snow. In coming my sin has deplored, my weakness and poverty show. I long to be saved heavenward, to be washed and whiter than snow. I believe Jesus saved, and His blood washes whiter than snow. I believe whiter than snow. To Jesus I give my all. Every treasure I love I know. For his fullness of blessing I call. To his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus said, as his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus said, that his blood washes whiter than snow. I am trusting in Jesus alone, trusting not his salvation to know, and his blood does so fully atone. I am washed and whiter than snow. I believe Jesus said, and his blood washes whiter than snow. I believe Jesus said that his blood washes whiter than snow.